All right, good to see everybody. One or two, we'll see. This should just be one message. And then we'll be back in Ecclesiastes in one or two messages. We're in chapter 10, and we've had a couple messages since we've come back from the Israel trip, but we've done some topical things. I thought I'd balance out my fly. Remember the fly in the ointment message? A lot of people, I mean, it's kind of strange. Some messages that I'll get encouraged by others on are not always the ones I'm going to think are as encouraging as other messages, but that was one of the strongest reactions I've had to a message, the message I did a few weeks ago, a couple weeks back, on the fly in the ointment. And I thought I'm going to balance that out, man, because I'm going to do another message that's going to be fly in the ointment. The fly is kind of a negative thing, but we talked about how to not allow the flies in the ointment or a little bit of compromise ruin our lives. Amen. But we're going to move from the fly to the bee. And I know I did a message, you might have heard it years ago, years and years ago, on bees. Didn't even consult those notes. I purposely stayed away from it. I didn't want to see one sentence from my old notes. And I just want to be something totally fresh. So this one is going to be called just simply Be a Bee for Jesus. And you're going to see how the bee is a really cool example in Scripture. Be a bee for Jesus. So Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts through your word and that we'd be encouraged, Lord. And I just want you to, I've got a lot of scriptures to cover, but bees are a trip, aren't they? I mean, you know, a lot of us might think, oh, but they can be so annoying, you know, they've got a stinger and everything else. But without bees, you couldn't be alive. Did you know that? We're dependent on bees. Bees are incredibly hard workers. In fact, about 75%, they tell us, the scientists that study bees and pollination and so forth, 75% of the crops around the world are pollinated by insects. And 80% of those crops are pollinated by, guess what? Bees. Amen? And they're a marvel. I mean, scientists have studied their hexagons as far as trying to understand how they use it for community in a prosperous way. They've learned from just the way they build hexagons. Do you think that bees thought that up, by the way? A couple of bees just happened to pop into existence. Male and female again, right? Able to procreate too, you know, liked each other. And they just said, let's build a hexagon. No, you know, this is all from God. Amen. And it's just amazing when you think of bees, but I think it's interesting because when you study bees in Scripture, it's really interesting because bees are God's servants and we're his servants. Amen. We've been created higher than the bees. We're created in God's image. In fact, we're supposed to be caretakers of the planet. We're supposed to be stewards. Read Genesis, the first few chapters, not worshipers of Gaia and worshipers of so-called Mother Earth. We worship Father God, the creator of the earth. Amen. But we're supposed to be good stewards as Christians. Amen. And Christians ought to be the most balanced stewards of the planet on the earth. And bees are an important aspect of our, you know, environment and our habitat. And we need them. And I thank God for bees. I've been stung before, you know. I was a crazy little kid. I remember coming down home from elementary school and we have one of those, you know, shrubs that has all those little white flowers, little tiny little deals on them. And I'd grab a bee, showing off to my friends and grab them and throw them down, you know, like, I don't know what I was thinking, you know, just some little kid, you know. And I remember some kid, I was trying, another tough kid at school, you know, I was trying to impress. And I think I was in like fourth grade or something. And he's like, I go, hey, check this out. And we never talk, right? I'm going to impress this kid, right? I grab this bee, I shake it, I throw it down in front of him. But as I'm throwing it down, it stung me right in the palm of my hand. And I'm like, ah! I ran into the house, screaming, how embarrassed, man. Embarrassing, right? Anyway, not a that's a humiliating story to tell, but true story, the dumb little kid. but bees, they have a stinger for a reason. And not all bees have stingers, but there's... Guys, there's thousands, literally a couple thousand different varieties of bees. I mean, just different species. That is a blow mine in itself. I want to share some things with you from Scripture. Exodus 23:38 says, this shows how he says that bees are his servants. There's all kinds of bees. He says, I will send hornets ahead of you. And by the way, the Hebrew word translated hornets right there is from a root that means honey. And we don't actually know what insect this is, but since it's related to honey, they think it's some type of bee. It can be translated bee. I'll send them ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites before you. So God's going to send, there's more than one passage on this where he's going to send them into the promised land to drive the wicked out. And God can use animals. We know that. He created us. Amen. He can use any of us as well. Isaiah 7:18 says, the Lord will whistle. The Lord whistles, I'm sorry. And it talks about how he calls the bee from the land of Assyria. Talks about calling a couple different things and says he sends them, and it talks about how he sends them to the promised land. So he just whistles, you know. It's pretty cool. He has command of the bees, you know, just whistles. They come. And there it was to bring some judgment, but also for the people that would survive the Assyrian invasion, they would leave behind, that's verse 17, according to verse 21, they would leave behind curds and honey and feed the people that were left, the remnant that was left over in the land. So they serve as warriors for God. They also serve as creatures that produce honey for us. Do you know they make extra honey? More than they need? That's pretty cool. They make a lot more honey than they actually need, so it's been a huge blessing to humanity. In Exodus 16:31, it says, the house of Israel called the name, therefore, manna. It says, before they went to the promised land, they called it manna, the bread that came down from heaven. It says it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So it's interesting to me. It doesn't say it was wafers made with honey. It was like wafers made with honey, which shows me that the Lord had an intent on having honey taste like honey on the earth and giving them manna that tasted like honey. He designed the flavor, obviously, all the flavors, but the flavor of honey and all the capable flavors, I should say. That's pretty cool. Deuteronomy chapter 26, 9 says, and he has brought us into this place and has given us this land, even a land that flows with milk and what? Honey. The promised land over and over again, over and over and over again. It's called the land that flows with milk and honey. You know, Proverbs 24:13, it says, my son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. So honey, and honey is really awesome. How many of you like honey? I love honey, man. It's so good. And it's really healthy compared to like regular sugar. Because God made it such a way where, like, if you eat just white sugar or brown sugar, metabolizes really quick. You get picked up, then you get crashed down, and you can get a headache, or you get tired or fatigued. Honey takes 4 times longer than sugar to digest. And when I found that out years ago, I thought, that's pretty cool, you know? And so honey, he says, eat the honey, for it is good. Also, the scriptures warn, it states that in Proverbs 25, Proverbs 26, it warns that if you eat too much honey, you'll vomit. So in moderation, amen? I don't go home and say, wow, I'm going to eat a whole thing of honey now. Praise God for that message. Mark 1:6, it says of John the Baptist that he was clothed in camel's hair with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and what? Well, honey. Now, some of you might wince when you hear locust, but put some honey on that locust, but probably tastes better, right? Now, I believe personally that honey is a picture of the word of God. I believe when it says, eat thou honey, for it is good, it's like a double entendre, okay? Honey is good. Eat it, because it specifically mentions the honeycomb there, and it's sweet. So I can't get away from the literal meaning. But also, he's been talking about wisdom in that context. And now listen to the verse that comes right after it, which shows you that he's also emphasizing, and the main emphasis is wisdom. My son, verse 13 of Proverbs 24 and verse 14, my son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. So don't just seek out honey in the honeycomb. That's good. But what else should you be seeking out that's for your soul? God's word. So what honey is, and sweet, it's nourishing. Honey has a nourishing aspect to it. We could get into the whole dietary thing. I'm only mentioning some things right now, but the word of God, that's what the word of God is. It's your soul. And guess what? He doesn't ever say, though, you can eat too much of the word of God. It does talk about the word of God, though, being sweet. When Jeremiah eats it, when John the apostle eats it, it's sweet to the mouth, but it became bitter in the stomach. And that's because it's a two-edged sword, because it promises liberty to those who turn to the Lord, amen, but judgment toward the wicked. And both those books have a lot of judgment in them. So it's interesting in Psalm 19, 7 through 10, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testament of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Now listen, they are more desirable than gold. Yes, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. His word warns us. And it says his word is more desirable than the most important part of wealth in those days, which was gold. And sweeter than the most sought after food to consume as a sweet honey. And here we are. And praise the Lord. You are wise because you're here this morning. We're partaking of the Lord's honey, amen. We're partaking of the Lord's gold, amen. We're becoming enriched in our souls, amen. Enriched spiritually. And that's, we gather together to be enriched, but not just to be enriched and be thankful to the Lord, but also to enrich others. And that's why the bee is also an incredible example, because through it, we enrich others as well. Psalm 119, 103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. And health to the bones. The word of God brings health to you spiritually and physically. Do you know God-fearing Christians who live a godly life live far longer than pagans that reject Jesus? Did you know that? I'm not saying professing Christians, God-fearing Christians who follow his word and obey it. I mean, because they're not going to be struggling with all the, you know, the sexually transmitted diseases. They're not going to be struggling with all the repercussions of drugs, illicit drugs and drunkenness and things of like that, violent behavior and things of that nature. And they're going to be under the favor of the Lord as well. It doesn't mean Christians won't get sick. That's a false doctrine to say Christians never will suffer sickness. I mean, look at Job, amen. He's the strongest believer of his time. Amen. Look at the Apostle Paul, had a thorn in the flesh. Okay. So Christians will at times be afflicted. But one of the neat things is when you look at the bee, there's so many lessons. There's so many lessons. Even our trials that we go through as Christians. It's a bummer because I was talking to, I was my wife or somebody just recently, that it's a bummer because when you go through a trial and you're in the world and you get through that trial, or maybe, you know, I mean, it could be a myriad of different trials. You don't have a lot to show for it, you know? Maybe you get more stressed. Maybe you seem to age a year or whatever. As a believer, when we go through trials, we're with Jesus, amen? Whatever we're going through right now, if we seek the Lord in it, there's all these scriptures that promise us how God will bless us, amen? And how he'll make us stronger than we were. And that he'll teach us wisdom, amen? It'll teach us how to trust him, amen? And that Job, at the end of his trial, he was blessed twice as much than he was before he went through that trial. That's one of the big messages in the book of Job. And sometimes you don't even know you're going through a trial, or you're going through a trial, but you don't see how it'll be a blessing. And I remember I had a debate with the atheist over there in Ventura County, you know, with Rich Cromwick. And I had this whole, we both had our own little spiels, and it was supposed to be a debate. And we said, yeah, we'll debate you guys. And it was interesting because a lot of these guys look just like Charles Darwin, man, the big long gray beards, you know. I didn't even have the stubble here, so I felt really young, you know. so we're going through this debate, and I did two of my presentations on evolution with my slides into one. And I basically showed a lot of things. But one of the things I love is I showed how the bee goes through a process when it's pollinating. And I just talked about, you know, how, you know, when plants and animals and so forth are dependent upon one another and they can't exist without each other. And I showed a bee go through a certain specific kind of trial with a certain kind of flower. And I'm not going to belabor this point because it wasn't in my notes until 18 minutes ago or 19 minutes ago or so. And I just thought I'd throw this in there. And one of the ones, and they'll go into a big flower. They'll go into the cup to find nectar. And all of a sudden they'll find themselves stuck and they can't get out. And they're just stuck. It's like, now it's a trial. They think they're just going to die. They'll be doing this for a few minutes. One of these, a video that I've seen on one of these, and one of the, I don't know if it was National Geographic, but years ago when I was young, still sticks in my head the most because it was the most fascinating. And because this bee is just trying to climb out of this cup, and there's like this liquid there, and it can't. But there's a little hole it finally finds at the bottom of the cup, just big enough for it to get through. It's like, wow, a way of escape. And the scriptures tell us that there's that, you know, that with the temptation, God will also give us a way of what? Escape, that we may be able to endure it. Amen. And this bee has a way of escape, and it crawls through this hole. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. It finally gets out, and it gets out, and it climbs to this little, you know, little limb kind of thing sticking out of the flower, and it's sitting there. But now it's too wet because it's just been in all this gunk, and it can't fly yet. And as it's sitting there, the bee's like, okay, I'm free, but now what? I can't even fly. And then all of a sudden, there's like a little tentacle thing that comes down from the top of the flower and sticks a seed on the top of its head and back. And it goes back up. Oh, that's just a coincidence. Come on. And then the bee's like drying off, right? And finally it dries off. It doesn't even know what's going on. And it flies off. I'm free. That was weird. And guess what's on its back? This cool seed. And it's going to fly off. Eventually that'll dry off in the back. And it'll drop. And that flower, by the way, about 80% of flowers in Europe are pollinated by wildflowers, by bees. And over here, man, similar percentage. The majority of our wildflowers are pollinated by bees. And that bee, I don't think the bee's thinking, I know exactly what's going on. Yeah, I'm going to find a hole eventually. Well, no, if he's going to find a hole eventually, he would have looked in the beginning. He's trying to get out. He didn't even know what's going on. The whole thing is like a trial. Why did I go through all this? I can't believe it. Should have seen what I went through. What purpose did the Lord have in that? I don't know. God knew. He's planting another flower. Amen. Because we weren't made for ourselves. We were made for God's glory. Amen. So a lot of times you go through trials. You don't know why you're going through it. But God's planting something. Amen. In your life or the lives of others. Amen. And that flower that he plants makes things more beautiful. Lord's creation. Amen. And your life becomes more beautiful because of all the trials we all go through. Amen. If you give it to the Lord. So a lot of lessons from bees. Amen. A lot of them. So we need bees. I mean, you know, anybody like almonds here? Thank the Lord for the bees, okay? Because you don't have almonds, typically, without bees. They're used to pollinate almonds. Now, it's very important that we are appreciative of the Lord's creation. And bees are in decline right now, though. I mean, they're in mass decline. I saw statistics that are just so alarming, you know? Like 46% of the bees around the world have been decimated. And they don't know all the reasons either. Billions and billions and billions of bees are gone. They know some of the reasons, though. One of the reasons is a lot of them have lost their habitat. Christians are in many ways in decline. The gospel's spreading in certain parts of the world, like South America, like in Central America, like never before. Africa, like never before. The Christian church is growing in a lot of ways, but it's also in decline in other ways. Like in Europe, they're losing habitat. In parts of the Middle East, big swaths of the Middle East, because Christians have been persecuted by Muslims. When we used to go to Israel, we'd go to Bethlehem. There was a stronger Christian presence. Now there's hardly any Arab Christians there because they've been run out by the Muslims. There's other reasons that the church is in decline in certain areas. And one of those reasons is food source. The food sources for bees has declined radically. And guess what? A lot of Christians, you don't see a reproduction of Christians and people coming to Christ because guess what? There's a famine of the Word of God. You know? In a lot of places, people would go to get saved. They go to a big church and they won't even hear about the blood of Jesus. They won't hear about the need to repent. They won't hear about becoming a follower or disciple of Christ. They won't hear about sin and how they need to turn from it. And they'll just hear these feel-good messages, these Joel Osteen type messages, and they'll tickle the ears and they'll feel good and they'll feel like, wow, I'm a Christian, but they're still living headlong in a bunch of sin and they haven't repented. So a lot of the reason as well is because there's a lack of a food source. Another reason the bees are in decline is not only because of lack of habitat, lack of good food sources, but because of pesticides and the rampant use of pesticides, you know? And guess what? The reason the church is in decline in a lot of areas is because of spiritual pesticides, spiritual poison. Look at some of these denominations. Some of the, like many of the United Methodist churches in the past, thankfully, a lot of the Methodists stood up against allowing, accepting homosexual marriage and, or homosexual clergy and stuff in the church recently. But many others are for those things, you know, Presbyterian USA, you know. I remember just some years ago that their new platform was the dawning of the new age, you know, that we're going to go into. And they stand for a lot of the things that are antithetical to the Word of God. And a lot of them are pro-murdering the babies in the womb, you know. And pro a lot of the things that we understand, the scriptures are clear, are evil and sin. And so a lot of these churches have been decimated by wolves coming in. And by the way, wolves, another reason bees are in decline is because of mites. I mean, billions of bees have suffered death. And there's a lot of beekeepers that have lost their hives, have lost their whole business, has gone up in smoke because of a mite infestation. And that's like a picture of, by the way, Brother Chip. You guys know Brother Chip Vanoy and Tatey? Chip is just, and Tatey is awesome as well. But he's such an amazing brother, and he just works his tail off, and he's our church beekeeper. It's not our business, it's his business, but it's a flourishing business. And while so many people pray for him, because this is a guy who loves the Lord, constantly praying, constantly, if you met Chip, he's a trip, man. He's always quoting the scripture, just always going forward and always trusting the Lord and seeking the Lord. And while so many of these bee companies and so many of these hives in these bee communities have been destroyed, his is still thriving. By the way, a lot of the beekeepers in California are blessed this particular year because we had all the rains, amen, all the sage. Sage honey is amazing, and the bee pollen that comes from sage is really amazing. So, but pray for Chip and pray for the other beekeepers and pray for the bees. Amen. Bees are gone. In time, you would be gone. Although we know it's, we've read the book of Revelation. It doesn't end that way. Amen. But it does end where the animals in one of the seals in Revelation 6 attack humans. So maybe you should pray for the bees even more. Let's make sure you're right with God. It's interesting because so we learn lessons. We learn lessons that the church is in decline. So we're talking about trials. We talked about how we can suffer, and you spiritually could be in decline. If you allow false teaching, if you allow occultism or new age teaching or the so-called new spirituality to deceive you and get you away from what God's word and what the Lord has taught through his word. If you allow false teachers, oh, I'll just eat the chicken and throw out the bones, you know, and all of a sudden before you know it, you're eating the bones and you're choking to death. You got to be really, really careful. And the Bible says to, you know, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby in respect to salvation. Amen. That's in 1 Peter chapter, end of chapter 1 and beginning of chapter 2. So I want to encourage you guys to endure your trials, knowing that there's seeds of beauty and wonder that you don't even know when you're going through trials that God's accomplishing. He may give you a glimpse of it. He may not. We see through a glass darkly. His ways are higher than our ways, it says. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We trust him. Amen. We trust him. When you can't climb out of something, you're like, oh no, don't get upset with God. He's doing something. When you finally found a cave and you thought, thank you, God. And then you get to the end of it and the road stops. Where do I go now? I can't even fly. Don't freak out and get upset with God. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you still. Amen. And eventually you'll fly off. What if I don't fly off? What if I die there? Well, then you'll fly home. That's the best place you can go. Amen. I got to be careful. It's things I add and write it before my message that I keep going back to you and when I'm supposed to have that take the time. But important lessons. Bees, we get the term busy bees for a reason, amen? They're incredible workers, isn't that right? They're incredible workers. They pollinate, I've read that they pollinate between 400, one bee, can go and gather nectar from between 400 and 2,000 flowers, one bee, in a day. I can't get my brain around that, you know? And some of you have a hard time going to work in the morning. And you're driving. You're not even flying, you know. We need to be thankful that we only have to go to one place, two, three. Depends on your job, you know. But we need to get serious about the work we do. And you know what? This is what blows me away. I'm very, very, very thankful when I eat honey. I've always thanked the Lord for honey. When I was a new Christian, I became a Christian at 18. I started eating bee pollen. I started eating nuts with raw, I don't say raw, but I didn't cook it. I just put some milk in it, oatmeal. When I met Lisa years later, she saw me eating bee pollen still and nuts. And I'd put the nuts, you know, like walnuts and crack them and put them on my oatmeal. And And I'd go up the hills and run and take an orange with me, you know. Then I got married, and it was like my wife's first thing that she knew how to cook was bean burritos. And it's the only thing she knew how to cook for a while. Or not bean. I think you put some meat in there too, right? Now she's an amazing cook, but it took a while because it was that. And then it was like, you want burritos or cereal tonight? You know, I was like, my shape changed a little bit, you know? And I was like, and eventually, you know, and then we'd go over to mom's and she'd cook and, or we'd go out. And eventually, man, she got a routine of some really good things. Like, I'm starting to salivate now because I'm thinking of her spaghetti, but she cooks a lot of really nice things now. But bees, I'm really thankful for honey, even more so when I realize that just to get one tablespoon of honey, you ever get a tablespoon of honey out and just eat a tablespoon of honey or put it on some toast or something? It takes a bee to visit of about 4,200 different flowers to give you that tablespoon of honey. 1 pound of honey? Pound of honey? Not that much. 3 million flower visits to get you that honey. Tell the Lord thank you. Don't start worshiping the bee, you know, but thank the Lord for the bee that he made. Amen. Because the bee is also blessing his colony by, you know, getting the nectar and which they make the honey out of and what have you. So, but they work so hard, it blows me away, you know. They'll travel as far as 8 miles to one flower, you know. They'll travel a long way. And guess what we're called to? Because guess what? The church is like a beehive. Amen? And we're supposed to be working for the Lord together. How often have I told you that we are all, the Bible says, each and every one of us that follows Christ is a minister of reconciliation. Amen? We all are ministers in Christ. Amen? We each have jobs to do. And it's quite fascinating when you think about it. And we're supposed to work unto the Lord. Hard. We're not supposed to live for ourselves. You know bees? Do bees live for themselves? Before I go into working, think how important it is for bees to be in fellowship. Amen? If a bee says, you know what? I don't want to go to church, or I'm so sorry, I don't want to live in the hive anymore. I'm kind of tired because there's this one bee, you know, and I just don't like sitting next to her in the hive, you know. And this other one, God, she's always, you know, and she just flies off. What's going to happen to her in time? She's going to die. Okay. Well, that would be the queen, the she, but sometimes the queen and the whole bunch of the bees will swarm and they'll go start another hive. It's cool to start other churches, amen. It's what we're doing over in Mexico, amen. Be great if you could help out, you know. But a lone bee, I'm talking about honeybees now, is a dead bee. You ever see a bee just kind of walking around? It's just weak. You don't know how it gets that way necessarily. You know, I don't just see it and you feel sad for it because, man, it's not, it's just, it looks weak. It can barely walk. And that's what happens when professing Christians are no longer in fellowship. I'll do it on my own. The Bible says we're not, in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together in our church lives. Are you in the Word? Are you fellowshipping with other believers? Are you seeking the Word out? Are you seeking to share that Word? It says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some, but gather together all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. Amen. That's why I think bees are such a radical example in many, many ways. But bees are also hard workers. So we've talked about enduring trials like bees, being a bee for Jesus, enduring trials like bees. Amen. We've talked about the Word of God being a picture of what the bees deal with and how there are pictures as well. We talked about the decline of bees. We talked about, you know, briefly, being together with one another, but also I want to emphasize being workers like bees. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. This wouldn't just be in the church, amen? It's be whatever you do. Unless, of course, you're doing something wicked where you're destroying people. Then you need to get away from that job, cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm turning from this. Show me where to work because, you know, I'm making, you know, heroin or whatever it is. Whatever you do, work with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Since you know what? You'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So if you're working even at McDonald's, flipping burgers, you know you can have a good attitude. You know why? Flip burgers for Jesus. Amen. Say, you know what? I'm going to do this as unto the Lord. I'm going to do this for his glory. People are going to see that I'm different. Amen. They're going to see that I love God and I have a good attitude and that I don't get involved in coarse jesting and talking evil about people. And I'm just going to walk in love and serve the Lord. And the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east to west, but it comes from the Lord. Amen. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due time. You just keep serving God. You keep going through that trial. If you feel it's a trial, wherever your job is, continue to serve the Lord and pray and say, God, lead me and guide me. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever you find to do with your hands, do it with all your might. For in Sheol, or hell, where you are going, and it would be hell for those who are wicked, but Sheol would be the good side of Sheol, which Jesus talked about, the two compartments in Luke 16, where you are going, there is no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. You're not working this is before the cross, before Jesus died. Now when we die, we go right to be the Lord in heaven. Amen. But he's saying, do it with all your might. Ephesians 6:7 says, serve with goodwill as to the Lord, not to men. I'm telling you right now, some of you may be struggling with your work attitude. That's because you're looking at yourself, or you're looking at your boss, you're looking at other employees. Look to the Lord. Amen. That'll help your attitude out a lot. Because you're like, I'm going to go serve Jesus today. Amen. Let that be helpful to you. If you don't want to work, if you don't want to help, if you don't want to serve, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if we fail to provide for our own household, we're worse than an unbeliever and we've denied the faith. Whew. Hear that? If I said, you know what, I'm tired of working, you know, and I'm not retirement age yet. And I say, I'm just going to go kick back and on the beach, you know, and live under some bamboo for a while, next 20 years or whatever. I'm denying the faith. I'm worse than an unbeliever because I know better. Amen. And I know the Lord saved me and I should be serving him. So we should work for the Lord. I always say, Lord, keep me healthy, because I don't personally believe in retirement for me. For me, I don't. I believe in what we call rehirement. You know, if I get too old and I can't preach and counsel anymore, you know, and I'm going to do something for Jesus. I'm going to keep working for him in some way, you know. You know what? I fellowship with two busy bees that are just busy, busy bees in their retirement age, but they didn't go into retirement. They went into rehirement and said, Lord, we're just serving you full time now. They're just serving the Lord. And my wife and I were leaving when we fellowshiped with this couple last night and went to a boba place that was still open because it was open till 11. I think we left there around 11 or so. And my wife was like, and I was like, amen, you know, they're so energetic, you know, and praise God, you know, and so forth. And you know what? And one of them was an elder here for years, but they moved up to Palm Springs area. And I want you guys to stand up if you don't mind. I'm going to put you on the spot here, but I love you guys. You're serving the Lord and doing it. So Jay and Suksha, can you stand up? You guys know Jay and Suksha. Praise the Lord for them. Amen. Praise God. Jay and Suksha are both incredible servants. And can you guys turn around and say hi to everybody? Now, these bees, keep saying hi. These bees are in their 70s. Suksha is 78 years old. I'm not kidding. I'm sorry. Got to say it, Suksha. Because, I mean, come on. You look, honestly, doesn't she look 42 or something? I mean, it trips me out, you know? And you know what? You know why they stay young in a lot of ways, I believe? I know Suksha, kimchi's part of it. We've talked about that, you know? I eat kimchi, so thank God. In fact, she used to give me kimchi. That's when I first got turned on to kimchi years ago. She eats a lot of honey? Praise the Lord. Well, with peanut butter. Praise the Lord. Well, my mom eats a little peanut butter. And look, she's still kicking good too, you know? And she's got you by not very much, okay? yeah, I mean, peanut butter and crackers, you know? And my dad, as you know, just passed. Were you feeding him peanut butter, Mom? Were you feeding Dad peanut butter? Message is called Be a Peanut for Jesus. No, it's not, you know. But you guys are, they're such, and they have all this joy. I just look at them right now. They just love the Lord, have all this joy. And they go all over serving the Lord. They go all over witnessing to people, sharing Jesus with people, you know. They shared, I don't know how many stories, so many stories with us yesterday that blessed our hearts, of just really blessed my heart just to hear how they go here, or they're at the shopping center. They'll pass out a card. They'll invite people to church, you know, so you got to check out a church and so forth. And, it's just a beautiful thing, you know? And they're like, Suksha's like, we're praying to come back to Blessed Hope. Come to see me, or I am at least. We want to come back. And then my wife's like, and I'm like, well, we got to see what God's will is. But she's like, you guys need to keep doing what you're doing. You're bearing so much fruit up there, which they are, up in Palm Springs. And Palm Springs needs Jesus, amen, that whole area. So I love these guys. They're awesome. But when I was thinking of Busy Bees, I'm like, you guys fit right in my message, you know? I mean, they just keep going. And I'm like, praise God. That means I keep eating, keep seeking Jesus, keep him first, keep eating my honey and my kimchi and some other things. That'll be good. Maybe we'll see. But anyway, keeping our eyes on the Lord. Each bee in the beehive has a job. We all have a job. Amen. The queen, what does she do all the time? She lays eggs. She's constantly having babies. Amen. And you know what? It could be like, how come I can't be the queen? You want to lay eggs constantly? Okay. You don't know what the other, that's what you got to think in ministry too. You don't know what other people in other ministries have to go through. I thought about that. I go, there's probably some bees. Are bees sitting around saying, no, they're not. But I don't know if they're crossed their mind. I don't know how they think. But I wish I could be. How come she gets to be the queen? Well, God decided to let her be the queen. Amen. So you don't complain and whine. You be thankful that you're a worker bee or you're a drone or whatever God gave you to do. Amen. Aren't these cool messages? I love messages that insects and animals because they fascinate me. But think about it too. She lays eggs constantly. Does she have an important role? Huge role. Very beautiful role. Now, I bet you she likes her role. I mean, one of the most beautiful experiences on earth is having, you know, children. It's painful what happens, but Jesus says after the pain, you forget the pain because you see the beautiful fruit of that. And he compared that to trials. Amen. And now she gets to produce how many thousands and thousands of babies? Just mind-blowing. And then the worker bees, they're quite amazing too. They go out and they find nectar and they defend the hive. There's soldier bees and these workers will guard the hive in case there's intruders. You get too close to a beehive. I mean, look at, you'll see Joe Buck's been working with Chip now for I don't know how long, year and a half or so. And man, he'll have like bee stings in his fingers. Chip, man, he's just a walking bee sting, man. He's just always got a, you know, because they get in those, it's almost inevitable if you're working close to the bees that you're going to get stung, you know? But they do different things. The worker bees not only go get the nectar, they not only come back, they not only have a hand in helping to make the honey, they defend, they go out and attack. They're warriors. They have a lot of jobs. But then there's the drone bee. The drone bee doesn't have a stinger. Can't even protect itself, you know, or the beehive. Does it? And it's not the queen. Does it say, I'm not a queen. I'm not a soldier worker bee. I'm a drone. No, the drone is very important. Because if you don't have the drones, you're in trouble with the beehive. And your beehive's not going to survive or be healthy. It's just... Because the drones feed the babies. They nurse them, you know, the larvae, you know, and bring them forth to maturity. And they all have important positions. I think there's a huge lesson in that for us. Amen. Every position is important. You get rid of the drones or the workers, you know, or the queen bee, you have a lot of trouble. And so I think we need to keep in mind that the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 12:14, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Amen. So we're given different gifts by the Lord, by the same Holy Spirit, to benefit the body of Christ. And we're supposed to work together. The Bible says that we're like the body. The Bible uses in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, the middle chapter being 13 on love, that would edify one another by love and build each other up. And not just supposed to consider our own interests, but the interests of others around us. And that's what bees aren't. Bees you don't see as being selfish. Okay, they fight for the colony. They live for the colony. They feed the colony. And it's interesting because the Bible says the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Right? My eye needs my hand. Amen? My hand needs my eye. We all need each other. And you're important in the Lord's. And the Lord knows best. You could never drop a better plan for your life and a better gifting for your life than the Lord already has. Do you understand that? So you can rejoice in that and just walk in your gifting and be thankful. Are you with me today? Amen. So this is very, very important. In fact, the bees use an incredible amount of teamwork. They'll trade off day to day. The worker bees, there'll be some that just go off and find nectar. And guess what's happening that day? There's a bunch of workers' bees, a bunch of them staying back, and they're fanning, keeping the hive cool. And if they bat their wings throughout the day, it keeps that hive. They can't just plug in the AC, man. They got to do it themselves. And it makes it about 10% cooler. And a lot of times bees die because of too much heat. So it's imperative. But guess what happens the next day? Those bees that were keeping things cool, they go out for the nectar and the other bees stay back. And pretty cool, huh? You know? So they all work. And that means when there's a feast of charity, don't let it always be the same people that put everything away. Amen? One of the brothers asked me if I could work that in my bee message today. No, he didn't. I didn't even know I was preaching the, I didn't even know for sure I was preaching the bee message today. I told Jay last night, I've got two different messages I'm working on. We'll see what happens, you know? But anyway, teamwork. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to this. Well, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Since you did bring your Bibles, amen. And I'm covering a lot of ground, so I'm going through a lot of scripture. And turning to scripture slows us down a little bit, but it's warranted at times because we need to look in the word. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6 says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God." By the way, you have the whole Trinity right there now. "Who works all things in all persons." Look what he goes on to say. "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? For the common good." You guys, God's given us each gifts. When you're born physically, you have a physical gift you're given. At least one or more. When you're born spiritually, you're given a spiritual gift. When you're born again, you supernaturally, miraculously, beyond nature, receive one gift at least from the Lord. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we should pray for the greater gifts. So you can say, "Lord, use me." He says mainly that you should prophesy. And when you prophesy, that means you're encouraging people in the Word of God. So we should all be praying, "God, use me to encourage others in the Word of God." Amen? And we'll be blessed. But there's all kinds of different gifts. Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans chapter 12. And I think it's interesting. In Romans 12, he talks about not living for yourself. After 11 chapters, mainly about God's grace and saving us, he says, "Therefore what? I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, based on God's mercies, that what? You no longer be conformed to the world," right? "You lay up yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord and you serve him," right? "That you might prove his perfect will in your life." And then he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, after he talks about how we're supposed to lay up our lives to serve the Lord, he says, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving." If you've got a gift of service, serve. "Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation," encouragement. "He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor," that means hate, "hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." Okay? So it's important if we're going to do this that our hearts are in the right place and that we recognize, look at verse 4. "For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." We're part of you guys are part of the body of Christ. Each and every one of you that is trusting Jesus has different gifts. And you should be praying daily, "Lord, use my gifts to better and strengthen the body of Christ." That's how you apply that to your life. You cry out to the Lord in prayer. You say, "Lord, gift me even more. And to whatever degree, you know, you want to gift me. But then use me to your glory." And then step out and try to encourage people. And if you get upset because it doesn't go how you want, then you're being selfish. Because it's not about what you want. It's about what he wants. Amen? You just do the best you can. And then you pray, "Lord, help me be better at it." Amen? Fine tune me according to your glory. And let me be content with whatever. Because I'm telling you right now. One, I mean, you take out just, like I said, the queens or the workers or the drones, you're in trouble. Because each of us as well in God's hive, we play a huge role. And Jesus said, I try to remind people of this, that if you give someone a cold glass of water in my name, you will not lose your reward. Amen. The littlest things are huge to God. They're big to him. And sometimes we think because he's so big, even the biggest things are small to him. But he cares. Every idle word, it says, will be judged. You know that? Because it matters to him. Amen. So start to see what you do for his kingdom as being huge. For his glory, amen? And get serious about it. And serve the Lord with your gifts. And pray for the greater gifts. Amen? There's so much emphasis. I know when I was a new Christian, around 81 or so, you know, that there was so much emphasis on speaking in tongues. Everybody needs to speak in tongues. We all need to speak in tongues. Do you speak in tongues? You know? And I would trip out, you know, because I went to a church where there was a lot of emphasis on that and a lot of neat people that love the Lord there. But that was just part of what was going on in the body of Christ at the time. And I started to realize, you know, that I'd go through Corinthians, and I'm not going to belittle tongues, praise God. And there's people in this fellowship, yes, that speak in tongues and so forth. We are not cessationists where we believe that God doesn't do miracles anymore, or doesn't use, that there's the gifts are ceased. There's no scripture. Only scripture that talk about the gift ceasing, talk about the gift ceasing when that which is perfect is come. Is that which is perfect is come yet? So they say, oh, that's when the Bible is completed. That's not what it's talking about. Because he says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is what? In part will be done away. And we will know as we're known. Do you know? Do you have knowledge the way you're known by God yet? Do you know the way God knows? No, not even close. Amen. So, and the context there is 1 Corinthians 1, long before that, he says, you come behind a no gift as you wait for the return of the Lord. The context was when the Lord returns. Amen. When we're given, when we're perfected, then we'll have the knowledge, the full knowledge that he wants us to have. But whether they're tongues or prophecies, you know, Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I became an adult, I put away childish things. So when that full maturity comes and the body of Christ is completed in 1 Corinthians, Ephesians chapter 4, then that which is apart will be done away. So gifts are still here. And we're not sensationalists either. What happens is, in Corinth, they're getting into the flowery, or I should say the, I don't use flowery because of the message I'm in, right? They're getting into the more, you know, more sensational gifts, tongues, because they were showy. I'll say showy. And Paul, when you go through the gifts of lists, he puts tongues at the bottom. And he says, I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words than all kinds of words and tongues. He says, if y'all speak in tongues and someone unlearned comes in, they're going to think that the unbeliever is going to come in, or an unlearned person. He said, unbeliever, unlearned, they're going to think that you're mad. You know, think you're crazy. So he says, pray that you would prophesy. Now, that's his emphasis. He doesn't say pray for tongues. He says pray that you may prophesy. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray for tongues, and praise God, if you have that gift, praise God. But it says, unless there's an interpreter, let it be between you and God. Which shows me that it wasn't just a sign gift either. Because it says, let it be between you and God. Why would he say between you and God if it was just a sign gift? Shows that it has validity. So, I'm getting into things I wasn't planning on getting, and we got so much time left. We're good. So, make sure that you work for the Lord. Make sure that you share the gospel. These bees, man, they'll travel all over the place getting work and work and work and work. 3 million flowers so you can have a pound of honey. How much more should we travel, amen, to bring a soul to Jesus, amen? How much more, how beautiful the mountains are those, the feet of those who bring good news, amen, amen? Jesus left heaven. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? To preach liberty to the captives, right? To preach the good news, he said. Amen? To set people free. We have that message. And we ought to be using that message to God's glory. We ought to be sharing with others. Now, it's interesting. Bees are a trip, man. In fact, I asked the brothers, were you able to get that? I know it's short notice for you guys. Were you able to get that bee dancing? Can you make sure the sound's off? Before you turn that on, bees will travel miles, find here's a really cool food source, okay? And they'll find a really cool food source, and they'll go back. And you know how they communicate it to the other bees? They do a dance. And the dance shows them specifically what kind of source it is. What they've studied this, where it's at compared to the compass, and they'll do this really cool dance to communicate all this information. In fact, we have a little bee called Haley. She's going to go do that right now. I was kidding, Haley. Okay, let's play that video. And I'm going to, I'll say a few more things about that while the video's showing, you know. But it's really cool. Do we have a video that moves? I'm just kidding, guys. I gave this to them on short notice. But anyway, let me just read a few facts about the bee dance. Okay, we're already hungry, guys. I'm just kidding. You'll hop right into it. Check this out. Let me just read a few things. The greater the distance, this is what the bees will show, okay? The variations of the dance communicate all kinds of different things, like the greater the distance of the food, the slower the dance becomes. It's kind of interesting, I think. The longer the food is, the farther it is away, okay, the more the bee moves in a long line. It's kind of interesting. They'll communicate better food quality. Now, you'll see one in the middle that'll start dancing, and the other ones will cover around it looking at it, and it's picking up signals. It'll communicate a better food quality. The bigger the dance, the more intense the waggles are, the more excited. It's like, this food is really good. It's like, this is like, you know, sage or something like that. The source of the direction will be determined by the angle of the waggle. The way the angle that she waggles, or the worker bee waggles, will show the direction. Whether it's, she moves upward, that means the comb is about at 12 o'clock. Okay? If she goes toward the sun, it's toward 12 o'clock. But if she goes toward the right, that means its direction is, 3 o'clock. Isn't that interesting? She'll go toward the sun. It's straight ahead from here. Oh, she goes to the right then you got to hang a right. Okay? Which is really a trip, you know? Did we lose the waggle? Okay, well, that's cool. I think that's amazing, don't you guys? Do you think some bee just danced and they all just said, oh, that honey's over there? No, this was designed by God. And we have an awesome God indeed. Now, these bees are selfless. One of the cool things about these bees is that honeybees, almost all their feeding is not to feed themselves. False shepherds don't feed the sheep, the scriptures say. Okay? Jesus said, if you love me, what? Feed my sheep. Amen. You love your brothers and sisters, encourage them in the word of God. Amen. We need to feed each other God's word, encourage each other. God. In fact, Jesus said a variation that you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You know, he said, tend to my sheep as well. Take care of them. So you say, oh, but I'm not feeding. I'm more of a caretaker. He said, if you love me, take care of my sheep. Amen. But I'm taking care of the little ones, like the drones. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, one of the words Jesus used for sheep there was little lamb. Amen. You love him, take care of the little lambs. Amen. Amen. Covers all of us, you guys. It's exciting. Now, we need to work, not just for ourselves, not just feed ourselves. Ephesians 4:28 says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good. Listen, why? Why? So that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Amen? We don't just serve ourselves, guys. By the way, that's a sad existence. When I do premarital counseling, I tell two people that when you're getting married, if you are not there, and I had one person say, I never thought of loving the other person, that's I'm marrying to give them love. I just thought of myself. Just candid person. I'm, praise God. Well, glad you're being candid, but guess what? You're getting married, and if you both are just thinking of just yourselves in this marriage, not the other person, be like two parasites. You know, two fleas just draining each other. How ugly is that? Let's not be like the fly. Remember the fly in the ointment? The fly kind of lives for himself. Goes and lands on a mound of something in your backyard. It won't be graphic. It's almost lunchtime. But I'm glad I'm not a fly. Amen. But that's how a lot of people live. They just land on a piece of junk and they feed on that. And that's the existence of their life. And they're not really joyful. They're not. You don't look at a fly and say, what a beautiful creature. Thank you so much. Fly, you know, you look at a bee and you say, thank you, Lord, you're good. You don't like that stinger, but that stinger keeps them alive. Otherwise, all that honey would have been gone long ago. Bees would be gone long ago as well. So we're called to serve one another. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. And I love this because guess what? This is crazy. A lot of the hive, it revolves around the production of new bees. And they serve the queen, okay? In our case, we don't serve a bee queen. We serve something far higher. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen? It says in Colossians 1:16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him, amen? Isn't that awesome? They are created for him. And that's what we're here for, guys, to serve our Lord. And I think that's really cool. I mean, if my whole life was to serve a queen in a hive versus serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're created higher than bees. And they're excited about their job and they work hard. Amen. How much more should we be excited about our job? We're serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we're going to be with him forever. Amen. You know? And what's really cool about bees too is they lay down their lives for the queen, for the hive. We ought to lay our lives down for one another. The scriptures say in Revelation 1:5, to him, meaning Jesus, who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, Jesus sacrificed himself for us. Amen. It says he gave his own blood for us. God, it says, gave his own blood for us. Acts 20:28 says, Jesus is God, like many passages. Listen to what it says. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Because Jesus is the great I am in the bush. I am that I am, he tells Moses. But when Jesus comes to the earth, when they're trying to find out who he is, before Abraham was, he says, before Abraham was, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the resurrection and life. He that believes me, though he dies, yet shall he live. Amen. I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the bread that's come down from heaven. I am the door. Amen. Jesus says, I am the first and last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. He is the great I am. And if, praise God, you were created in his image to serve him. And that's something we ought to be very, very excited about. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Amen. Husbands, lay your lives down for your wives. That's part of your job as to be a bee for Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, he died, that is Jesus, for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Amen. And what's a trip too about bees is bees have to be born again. Do you know that? They're born once as larvae, but then they have to be tended to so they can be born all over again and sprout wings. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Whew, there's so much there. I'm looking at the clock and we have just enough time for communion with maybe a minute or two to spare. But I want to encourage you guys. Can you see how bees are an awesome example of what it means to be a man and woman of God? Amen. A bee just doesn't go around. You know, bees don't just go around looking, who am I, who can I sting and torment? They only have one stinger. They're not like yellow jackets who can just keep attacking you over and over again, biting and stinging you. They sting you once, they're dead. They don't want to have to lose their life. They count their life, you know, they want to live. But they see the hive is in danger, the queen's in danger. They'll let that stinger out and die. Okay? Jesus wasn't like, oh yeah, I'll just go die. It was a choice. When he died and he took the stinger of death, it says, oh death, the Bible says, oh death, where is your what? Where's your sting? Oh, death, where's your victory? Right? It says our victory because Jesus took the sting of death. We have victory over death. Amen? Because we all deserve death. Born, appointed man wants to die, but after this is judgment. Amen? But if you are born once, you die twice. If you're just born once in a physical body and you live here, then you die twice. It's appointed man wants to die, then after this is judgment. He dies, but then he faces the judgment. Then he goes to what's called the second death, the lake of fire, because he's rejected God and the sacrifice that Christ made. But if you're born twice, you only die once. Amen? Because Jesus took the stinger of death for us. We don't have to die the second death. And we're born in this world, but then Jesus said, he that's born again, right? Praise God. If you're born again, you'll have new life. And he says, he that believes in me will not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life and will have eternal life. Amen? So make sure you're born again and accept the fact that Jesus took the stinger for you. Amen? That we all deserve because of our sin, because we were renegade bees. Amen? We left the hive. All of us like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid the iniquity of the sin of us all upon him. Amen? And he went and found us alone, dying. And we got the message from him and by his spirit that he gave his life for us so we could be born again and come back to the hive. Amen? And be part of his kingdom. What a great God we have, amen. I pray that you maybe grab the CD, maybe you listen to it or go to podcasts and listen to this message 2-3 times because I hope it's a great reminder not only his great love, but who we are in him from pictures that he's given us in his word and in nature, amen. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to make sure you're born a second time so you don't die twice, amen. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he went on to say that the Father did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might through him be saved. And then Jesus goes on to say the problem is people love darkness more than light. They don't want to give up certain sins. Can you imagine that bee? You say, bee, come back to the hive. You can be born again. You know? He says, no, I'm just going to hang out here on this limb. You know? No. Why would he do that? Why would you do that? I'm just going to wait till it gets darker. Maybe there'll be light at the end of this tunnel. Not if you're rejecting. The only way there's light at the end of your tunnel and the trials you go through is if you come to the light. And that's his name is Jesus. Amen. He is the light of the world. So I encourage you, if you haven't turned to Jesus Christ, you need to accept him for who he claimed to be. You can't make up in your own mind a different Jesus. The Bible warns of different Jesuses, different Christ. Jesus says many false Christs would arise in the last days. Jesus said false Christ and false prophets will arise showing great signs and wonders, deceiving if possible, even the elect. You need to accept God on his terms, amen, and what he says in his word about himself, amen. Because Jesus, some Jesus that, you know, is not the true Jesus is not going to save you. Only one Jesus, the real Jesus, died for your sins, amen. The historic Jesus died in the first century. So make sure you embrace him as your Lord and Savior. Make sure you accept the fact that he took the sting for you. He rose again so you can have eternal life and be born again. Amen. And embrace him now and you'll be saved. Receive the good news. We're a bunch of worker bees, man. Sharing the good news with others. We want to bring more into the colony. Amen. And we want to have a robust, thriving hive. We don't want to just get by as a hive that's just kind of buzzing up a little bit. Amen. Let Blessed Hope be a hive that just hums for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Can we all stand up while they pass out the cup and the bread?